Well, first of all, hello. It is good to be with you all. Excited to get to spend a bit of time with you guys this morning. But before I properly dive into what I have to say, I was praying before the service and asking the Lord what he was saying for us as a community at the moment. And I felt like one of the things that he was speaking over our community at the moment is an invitation. I feel like we are in a moment of invitation to depth. We are in a moment of invitation to depth in many different aspects, but I feel like one of the areas that he's inviting us to dive into deeply is his presence and spending time focusing and experiencing his presence as a community. And I feel like he was saying that that it might not look how we expect, and to not let that hold us back from diving deep. And I felt like that's what he was saying to us this morning. So I'm going to actually share my message now, but that was a message I felt to share from the Lord. This is two, but... So we have been talking about... we've been going through Isaiah 55. And Chris, the last 2 weeks... shared from Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. So I'm going to read those to you and then the verse that we are jumping off from this morning. So Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. We're going to hang around that phrase, listen, and you will find life. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice this morning, because God's voice produces life. Listen, and you will find life. His voice produces life. So I'm going to get you guys to discuss with someone next to you or a couple of people next to you. I just want you to take, let's go 60 seconds. What are ways that you can hear God's voice? What are ways that we can encounter his voice? Discuss. Okay. Seemed like there was some good discussion going on. I heard snippets of answers. Is anyone feeling brave and want to shout out an answer that the person they were discussing with? You can share their answers. Anyone want to shout out any of the ways that you can hear God's voice? Dreams? Yep. Sorry, I heard something over here. Devotionals, yep. Brilliant. Bible verses, brilliant. Through other people, yeah, community. I think someone said service. Circumstances, yep, for sure. Someone said something over here, I think. Nope. Songs and movies, yeah, for sure. Rhema, yep. Journaling, yep. Nature. Brilliant. A wee small voice? I don't know if you said a wee small... Yeah, you did say wee. Okay. Yes. No, I understood it. I just was like, is that what she said? My brain just wasn't quite computing it. There is so many ways that we can hear God's voice. Here is the truth. God is the best communicator there is. God created the concept of communication. He created communication. He is the best communicator there is. And there is so many ways that he can communicate. So many ways that we can hear his voice. We can hear his voice through scripture. We can hear his voice through community. We can hear his voice through the prophetic. We can hear his voice through TVs, movies, all these things. Because he is so able to communicate that when we incline our heart to listen, we can hear him. And I love teaching on God's voice and prophecy. This is one of my passions. This morning, I don't have a super huge amount of time, so we're going to really talk about God's nature in relation to hearing his voice. But we will be diving into this topic a bit more in the night service space. So if you want to learn more about prophecy, term two, we're going to kind of be kicking off by talking about prophecy. So come along to that because it's going to be fun. I think hearing God's voice is one of the areas that there is the most warfare around. And we actually see that through scripture. The first deception in the Bible, the first thing that we see the enemy doing is, did God really say that? Yeah. It was around the voice of God. There is so much warfare around hearing God's voice. If the enemy can convince us that we don't hear, or that we only hear in this tiny way, or convince us that we're hearing when really that's not God's voice we're hearing, like, that's going to take us out. That's going to lead us to some really weird places. So it is one of the primary areas of warfare, I believe. And I feel like this is really specific in this season, that there is a lot of warfare going on around the area of hearing God's voice. So this is something that we need to be seeking to grow in, seeking to experience more and learning about. As a key leadership team, for the church, we are actually reading a book together at the moment. We're just about to start, called Prophetic Warrior by Emma Stark. Really fantastic book. Highly recommend it. But we're actually choosing to press into this topic and learn about it. And we'd invite you to come with us on that journey as a community. So let's look at how we can recognize God's voice. Firstly, God's very nature is goodness. His very nature is goodness. It's at the core of who God is. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He is more good than we have words for. Our very word good does not encompass how good he actually is. He is always good, and he is always working all things for good. Second, God's very nature is love. It's at the core of who he is. I'm going to read 1 John 4:7 to 19. It's a bit of a chunk. I've been reading it to you in the Passion Translation, so it might be unfamiliar to some of you, which is kind of fun to read in an unfamiliar translation because different things stand out to us. But because this is a bit of a chunk and it's like a real good one, I just invite you to close your eyes and just let this scripture, this word of the Lord, wash over you. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones. If he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him. And his love is brought to its full expression in us. And he has given us his Spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Moreover, we have seen with our own eyes and can testify to the truth that Father God has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Those who give thanks that Jesus is the Son of God live in God and God lives in them. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. Last part. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. God's very nature is love. Love is at the core of who he is. Last bit, I want to talk about God's nature. God is hope. It's at the core of who he is. It's his very nature. And hope comes from him. Romans 15:13. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. If these are aspects of God's nature, and we're told in Hebrews 13 that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever, then we know that these things have always been and will always be his nature. This is the God who looked at Gideon hiding and called him a mighty warrior. He sees things not as we see them, but from a heavenly perspective, from a divine perspective that draws the gold out. He looks at us and he doesn't see the garbage. He sees his beloved sons and daughters. And if this is his nature, if this is how he sees us, then it follows that this is how he would talk about us and talk to us. If this is his nature, it follows that his voice would fit with that nature. If God is good, if God is love, if God is hope, then the way that he talks about and to us, his children, is full of goodness, love, and hope. So if what we're hearing does not match up with what we've seen of him in the Word and what we know to be true of his nature, then we likely aren't actually hearing his voice. His voice sounds like him. Pretty simple. So if what you're hearing does not produce life, it's probably not his voice. That's an easy indicator. His word produces life. If it produces worry, if it produces judgment, if it diminishes your love towards other people, if it enables you to turn off love towards other people, that's not actually him. Scripture's pretty clear that we don't have permission to not love anyone. So this is why in our prophetic culture as a church, we emphasize looking for the good rather than the bad. People don't need to know the dirt in their lives. They know it's there. What people often don't know is how the Father sees them, the truth of how he sees them. And I can tell you from working with people for a long time that often the way that God deals with things in people's lives is by calling them higher, by addressing the gold, not by calling them out, not by emphasizing the dirt. The dirt gets brushed off through the process of them being called higher. One of the first times that I was praying and ministering to someone and I felt like the Lord was saying that the person I was praying and ministering for in another community, they had an addiction to pornography. And so that was what I felt like I was hearing. That was not what I shared because I was asking the Lord questions about it. I was asking him, like, what do you want me to say to this person? And what the Lord asked me to speak over this person was, you are a man of purity. In an earthly sense, that did not seem like it lined up with what I was experiencing. But that is what I spoke out. And the person was overwhelmed with emotion as the Lord called them a man of purity. And I got to talk to that person and minister to that person, find out that, yeah, they definitely were dealing with pornography. But the Lord was calling them higher and actually inviting them into an area of freedom. And this is the same thing that we see with Gideon, him being called a man of courage in the midst of him hiding, because the Lord sees things not as we see them. We've mentioned a story before of a student that Catherine and I got to work with when we were at BSSM. And this was a student that we saw some negative stuff on her. We felt through our discernment, we felt like there was some stuff going on in the spiritual that wasn't positive. And we had anxiety about her as a result of that. We saw that she had mental health stuff going on as well. Like she'd just gone off of schizophrenia medicine. Not on doctor's orders, just had done that. And we were worried about her welfare because we cared about her. We wanted to do, we felt like it was going to be best for her to be removed from the environment so that she could get the help that she actually needed, because she was in a foreign country, and it's not like America is great for healthcare if you were from a foreign country. So we were seeing dirt, and we actually wanted to address that. We wanted to actually react to her based on that. But thankfully, God stepped in the way that he does. And she had this beautiful, powerful moment where she encountered the love of God on Valentine's Day of all days, and was powerfully set free of the very stuff that we were wanting to address. The Lord was just like, actually, I don't care about that, and brought her into a place of freedom. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Holy Spirit convicts. He doesn't condemn, because we as believers actually have no right to be condemned now that Jesus died for us. Romans 8:1 says, "So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One." So I'm going to share with you a couple of my core values for hearing God, and then we're going to do some activation to wrap up. So, I have three main core values for hearing God's voice. One, God is good and he's in a good mood. So, to me, this means that the things that he says are always love-filled, always hope-filled, and always joy-filled, and they draw us closer. He is always drawing us closer. Everything the Lord does and has ever done is relational. He is so relational that he's always drawing us closer. Core value two. So first was God is good and is in a God mood. Is in a God mood. Yeah, okay. Is in a good mood. Number two, God is always talking. God is always talking. This means there's never a time that God isn't speaking. There are just times that we're not listening, or times that he's talking in a different way than we might expect. We need to learn to identify his voice and not expect that it will only come the one way. Sometimes we expect that it will only come the one way, and then we're like, I've always only heard him through journaling, and suddenly journaling's not working for me in this season. It's not that the Lord's not talking. Maybe he's talking in a different way in that season. Maybe he's inviting you to experience his voice in a different way in that season. There's never a time that he withholds his voice. People sometimes talk about desert seasons and refer to the time Jesus went into the desert. But there's nowhere in that passage that says that Jesus was without God's presence in the desert, or that he couldn't hear his voice in that time of being in the desert. It was the Holy Spirit who led him in. I fully believe that it is a lie that we sometimes cannot hear his voice. Sometimes he whispers. But what do? When someone whispers, we lean in. So even his whispers are an invitation to relationship and intimacy. Final core value, number three. So it was God is good and is in a good mood. God is always speaking. And number three, we are learning how to hear his voice. We get to learn together. That means that we'll sometimes get it wrong. Sarah told you that I have gotten it wrong. I sometimes get it wrong. But it's a journey, it's a process, and an adventure that we get to go on together and with him, where we learn to identify his voice. We learn what his voice sounds like. There's no stakes. We've had Steve Backlund from Bethel come and minister here a couple times, and he often uses the illustration of a child learning to walk. He talks about how we don't look at the child falling down and assume that the child can't walk. That isn't how learning works. It's part of the process. I'm getting to watch this right now with my son Leo. He's pulling himself up all the time, taking maybe three steps and falling down. And we're not in that moment being like, this is what Steve would say, but we're not being like, you're not a walker. Like, I guess this is just a thing you can't do. You don't have the spiritual gift of walking. He's learning, and it's part of the process. Failure is part of the process of learning. Because we're learning, we don't assume that we're always right. That's called pride. And if you're listening to the voice of pride, you're not listening to the voice of the Lord, because that's judgment. So we don't assume that we're always right when we're hearing. We create wiggle room and safety in the way that we give words. And I'll talk about that a bit more when we do the emphasis on prophetic and night service. But as we grow to know him, we learn more of what his voice sounds like. When we know someone, we can recognize their voice in a busy room. If my wife Catherine was here and she was talking across the room, I would recognize her voice because I know her voice really well. And we get to learn how to identify God's voice in different times, in different seasons, in the midst of busyness. So I'm going to get you to do something, and then we're going to do a couple of activations. So as I mentioned, this is one of the areas that I feel like there's a lot of warfare around, especially in this season, but we can see through scripture, in every season, there's warfare around the area of hearing God's voice. So what I want you to do is I'm going to get you to close your eyes and I'm going to get you to ask the Lord a simple question. So why don't you close your eyes now and I'll give you the question. Here's the question you're going to ask the Lord. Lord, is there an area of hearing from your voice where I'm believing a lie? Let me rephrase that. Lord, am I believing a lie about hearing your voice? And just listen to what he says. Often, if this is new to you, it can sometimes be the first thing that pops into our spirit, pops into our mind. And we just talked about his nature. We know that if it doesn't line up with love, if it doesn't line up with hope, if it doesn't line up with goodness, that's not him. But if it does, that's great. You can keep your eyes shut for a moment. Can I get a wave if you heard a lie? I'm not going to be like, you raised your hand and I need you to share. You're safe. But yeah, okay, I'm seeing a few hands. Okay. So I have good news, which is that if you were like, oh, I can't hear anything. Hey, you heard your lie. Is anyone willing and brave to just shout out a lie that they heard? I'm totally okay if no one does this, but if anyone would like to be courageous and vulnerable in this moment, I feel like there is breakthrough available. Okay. Here's some common lies around hearing from God. I can only hear for other people. I can't hear for myself. Really common lie. I can only hear in one certain way. Like I can only hear if I'm journaling, or I can only hear if I'm seeing someone in the eyes. I can only hear if I'm touching someone. I can't hear in this season is a really common lie. I can't hear at all is a really common lie. I had more and I didn't write them down and that was my fault. Does anyone else want to shout out any common ones? It doesn't even have to be one that you have found yourself believing. I think for me it was that other people are more prophetic than me, so I don't need to cultivate that gift. It was such a lie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got to stop still long enough to listen. Yep.
As a new Christian, I thought I wasn't holy enough or good enough to hear from God.
Yep, that's a really common one. Thank you for sharing that, Christina. That you're not good or holy enough to hear God's voice.
Might be deceived.
You might be hearing the devil or something. We talked about what God's nature is. So if it lines up with those things, you're okay. Any other ones that people want to shout out? No. Okay. Here is where we are landing. Almost. Here's where we're doing an activation. Then we're doing something to land. All right. So I am going to invite you to prophesy. Maybe this is completely new to you. It is totally okay to step out to risk. There is no stakes. In fact, I'm going to start by getting you to prophesy over yourself. So if you get it wrong, only you will know. So there is no stakes, and getting it wrong is part of the process. It is part of the process to learn. It is taking a risk. We actually grow the most when we're uncomfortable. So what I'm going to do is I've got two questions that I'm going to get you to ask the Lord, and you're going to prophesy over yourself asking the Lord these questions, and he's going to speak to you. As I said, sometimes if this is new to you, it can just be the first thing that pops into your brain. And if it's encouraging, if you feel encouraged, then it's probably him, because he's good like that. Okay, so I'll get you guys to close your eyes once again. And here is the question I want you to ask the Lord. What is one thing that he is proud of you for? What is one thing he's proud of you for? We'll just take a few moments. All right, one more question that I want you to ask the Lord as you prophesy over yourself. What part of God's nature is he revealing to you in this season? What of God's nature is he revealing to you in this season? Just ask the Lord and listen to what he has to say. So what I'd love for you to do is in the groups that you were in before, I'd love for you to share whatever you feel comfortable sharing of what the Lord just spoke to you. For me, I felt like he was saying that he was proud of me for fighting to keep my love on. And then I felt like he was saying that the part of his nature that he's revealing to me in this season is just his strengthening, the way that he strengthens us and comes alongside us when we need strengthening. So I'll just get you to, in the groups that you're in before, just share whatever you feel comfortable of what the Lord said. And then we've got one more thing we're going to do to wrap. Alrighty, so who felt like they heard something from the Lord? Just give me like a... Yep, okay, brilliant. Who felt encouraged by what they heard? Yep, brilliant. Hey, good job, you're hearing the Lord's voice. Who felt encouraged by what the other person shared? That's fun. I felt encouraged. Andrew just shared with me. It was very encouraging. Okay, so one of the other invitations that we feel like the Lord is extending in this season is to go deep in terms of prayer. And in hearing his voice, we get to listen to what's on his heart, and we actually get to pray in partnership with what's on his heart, which is beautiful. And we get to pray in line with his nature. We get to pray in line with who he is. So not coming from a place of judgment, but coming from a place of love and hope and expectancy, because he is good. So we are going to pray for the situation in Ukraine right now. Because obviously it is a big deal, and it is on the Lord's heart. But what we're actually going to do is we're going to take a moment, and we're going to listen to the Lord's heart for that nation. For both nations, for Russia as well. We're going to listen to the Lord's heart for those nations. And then I'm going to invite you to pray together. It's so powerful that we get to pray in partnership with him. We get to pray in partnership with what he wants to do. So let's just take a moment and just posture our hearts to listen to what is on his heart for those nations. And I can tell you now, his heart for those nations, for both of those nations, is love. He loves those nations. He loves those people. So let's just take a moment and posture our hearts and just listen. I'm going to pray and then you guys can be listening. I'm just going to pray for the Lord to be speaking to us in this moment. Lord, we just thank you that you are such a good communicator. We thank you that you are always speaking. We thank you that you are good and you're in a good mood. We thank you that you're always inviting us deeper. And we thank you that we get to learn how to hear your voice, Lord. We just ask that right now you would be speaking to us, that you would be speaking to us of what your heart is towards these nations, of what you are doing there, and what you are inviting us to be praying into as a company, so that we can pray in partnership with your heart, Father. All right, amen. I'm just going to give you guys a moment to just listen to the Lord, and then we'll make space to pray together, and then I'll hand to Sarah.